Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That would be Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. It's been a good week so far, and it's going to be better for a lot of people after you hear this next show here. We're going to be talking to a big winner there at the KCBS, Kansas City Royal, at the Barbecue Championships today. We're going to have Steve Nelson with us from Grills Gone Wild in a couple of minutes. And also, Miss Beaujolais is with us today here in the studio. We're going to be talking about some new news coming up in a little later in the show, some ag news and food news there. So first, let me be polite and welcome Steve. How are you, Steve?
Oh, I'm just great. Having a good time. We're down here in Bentonville at the Sam's Club Finals now, so we're excited to do that.
So you got a couple of perfect scores, as I understand it, KCBS. Is that right?
Yes, we did. We got a 180 first place in ribs, and we got a 180 perfect in pork at the Royal. So we were just absolutely thrilled about it.
I guess. Gosh. So let's kind of step back a little bit, Steve, if you bear with me for a second. When you're getting ready to go compete in something like the Royal, now my previous life, I was involved in horse shows. So a little different. You're not cooking, but you're still got to prepare for big events and, you know, get your mind around it. Plus all your stuff. How do you get ready for something like the Royal?
Well, what we did, is we were doing the Sam's Club out in Fort Collins, Colorado, and we got through the local, and then we went to the regional finals in Las Vegas. And we came home this summer, and we'd been practice cooking, doing quite a few contests. And I really didn't decide to do the Royal till about June, and I thought it'd be a good run-up to the Bentonville contest. And when we got down to the Royal, my whole focus was to try to turn out the best product I could, and I was just totally focused on that. I had changed my timeline quite a bit this summer, and we were kind of in a transition last year, going from low and slow, which I'd pretty much done the last 6 years, 7 years, and then we kind of went hot and fast, and I had to change everything. And it was during the 2014 season. It was kind of a learning curve for me. And then back in June of this year, we kind of went, kind of got it dialed in, kind of got it figured out what I wasn't doing correct. And so I kind of signed up for the Royal as do a practice cook. I wasn't really expecting results like that, but we just had a super cook. Everything we turned in we thought was spot on. And all you do is turn it in, cross your fingers, and hope the judges love it. And that was our day. That was our day at the Open.
So did you come up with you said, you know, you used to do low and slow, and now you're doing a little more hot and fast. Is it kind of a combination of the two for you now?
Well, not really. I just kind of went, we're putting our meat on at 6:30 in the morning, and when I was doing low and slow, I'd put it on at 8 o'clock the night before, and then I'd get up and I'd have to check the smoker two or three times. And it just kind of seemed something that a lot of teams were doing, and they were winning with it, and I thought, you know, I need to change my focus here and try to get onto this hot and fast cooking. And we just worked it out, and a lot of practice at home in the driveway, and you know, things started coming together in June, like I told you a little bit ago, and we started getting quite a few calls with it. We won a grand championship, and I said I'm going to take it to the next level, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do at this point.
So were you a little bit in awe when you walked into Arrowhead Stadium?
Oh, yes, I was, because we had cooked at Kemper Arena before, and I cooked there in 2012, and we finished 10th in the Open, but I like the atmosphere of Arrowhead. It's really a neat place to have a barbecue contest, and one of the benefits for us as a competition team was it was a lot quieter where we were at, and we were able to get 5 or 6 hours of sleep each night, which really helped out. When I was down at Kemper, it's hard to get any sleep, and there's so much activity going on there. And I really enjoyed it. There was a lot more room. I felt the teams were a lot more comfortable down there. I hope it continues to go down there.
Well, it just sounds like you had a little too much fun to me, but that's okay. Does your wife work with you when you do this, Steve?
Yes, Kathy and I, and Kathy's part of Grills Gone Wild. She does all the boxes. She helps me do the prep work and helps with the turn-ins and always gives me her opinion and thoughts on what we're turning in. And we had kind of a situation come up because we've been talking about changing our presentation boxes on ribs and pork. And we did the invite, and we didn't change it. And then the Open, we said, okay, we're going to change our box, our presentation box. And we did the ribs. I thought it looked fantastic. And then Kathy wanted to change the pork box, and I was kind of hesitant. But we had some good friends of ours, Mike and Joellen, that were helping us, and they both kind of overruled me. But we ended up getting the box completed, and we took pictures of it, and it was just probably the best pork box we've turned in ever.
That's got to make you feel good, though. I mean, besides being overruled by your wife and two friends, I mean, but I know that drill from my own experience in life. But, yeah, that's got to make you feel good when you turn something like that in.
Oh, yes, we were just thrilled with it. We did a different style of how we presented it, and we were kind of like, you know, you get involved and get something that's winning, you don't like to change, but I think the change we made really helped us. It was just a phenomenal box.
So what are you doing here at Bentonville this weekend?
Well, this is the Sam's Club Finals down here, and I was just trimming meat in the trailer, and Holly Williams was singing on stage, so I was just finished my last brisket. So I'm ready to go tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, I fire the drums up in the backwoods, and we're off to the races.
So do you do this full-time, Steve, or is this just a weekend gig for you?
No, actually, kind of give you a little background. I just came 10 years ago, I'd never heard of competition barbecue, but I'd always been a backyard guru all my life. I remember the first pellet smoker I bought. I was like, oh, man, that just produces fantastic barbecue. And I've always enjoyed cooking outside, no matter just meats. But, I mean, we were doing a lot of vegetables, and we were doing pizzas and stuff like that. And then about 9 years ago, they had a contest, and I thought, well, hey, I'm pretty good. I better get in that. Well, there was 21 teams. I finished 17th, so I found out I wasn't quite as good as I thought I was. But we've just basically, the next year we did a couple with our son. Our son, I don't know if you listeners know this, but our son is Scott Nelson. He has his own team called Pigskin Barbecue. He won the Jack here a couple years ago. And we did a 1 year with him, and then he lives about 60 miles from us. We kind of decided we did best to just split up and start our own team, and then we just progressively got into it. We were like a camping team with a trailer, and we've since bought a motorhome, and we got a 20-foot competition trailer. So it's kind of, if you'd asked me 10 years ago if I was doing competition barbecue, I'd have said, I don't even know what it is, you know? So
yes.
It's just one of those things.
It's kind of funny how that works. I mean, barbecue competitions to me are a lot like other, you know, whether it's horse shows or something to do with showing animals, or whether it's, you know, soccer matches on the weekend. A lot of times people get involved in this, and their first year or two is such a learning curve. Then, like you say, pretty soon, you know, they've got a motorhome, they've got pulling trailers, they've got, you know, barbecue reps trying to talk to them, all kinds of stuff going on. It's kind of funny. Anyway, we're going to take Steve, we're going to take a break here, and we'll come back on the break. We're going to talk to Steve Nelson some more, who's a big winner there at Kansas City at the Royal, and we'll be right back.
He robbed the Danville train, but that dirty little coward that shot Mr. Howard has laid poor Jesse in his grave. Poor Jesse had a wife to mourn for his life, three children they were brave. But the dirty little coward that shot Mr. Howard has laid poor Jesse in his grave. Now Jesse was a man, a friend to the poor. He'd never see a man suffer pain. And with his brother Frank, he brought to Chicago.
It's Full Flavored Radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Nation. That would be Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I want to say hi to a couple of our affiliates really quickly. KFLS down in Klamath Falls and KWVR up in Enterprise. Thanks for having us on your airwaves today. Before we get back to Steve Nelson, I want a little news here. This comes out of New Jersey. Now, Kayleen, you got to pay attention to this. Seems a Maplewood man in New Jersey forced his way into a Talmadge Road home, not sure where that is, and he was armed with a barbecue fork. But he got arrested because he was holding people at bay with a large barbecue fork, you know, the long-handled ones where they flip stuff on the grill. And he was using that as a weapon and demanded their, you know, their wallet and cash, valuables, all that. But with the assistance of some special operations groups at the kind of like that's kind of their version of community policing type thing. Somebody saw him. Anyway, he's cooling his jets in the Pokey right now in Middlesex County Correction Center over in New Jersey. $250,000 bail. Evidently, there was some heroin and stuff involved in that, too. I know that's hard to figure, but I never could figure out why somebody would want to do heroin and then barbecue. Anyway, back to Steve Nelson. One of the big winners here at Kansas City last week. When you get going to Kansas City, Steve, and you're doing all the prep work and all that, is it kind of like a different, what would I ask the question would be, the different aura around it than even like this week in Bentonville?
I would say yes, probably with the atmosphere and the event like that. Yeah, it is a different. The only thing I just struggle with is, like you asked me a question earlier, I didn't get back to you, but we don't do this full-time for a living. We do it just as a hobby. We're doing probably 12 to 15 contests a year, and we prep the meat. I actually put myself on a schedule. Like Monday, I do this, I get my injections ready. Tuesday, I'm get all the meat rounded up. Wednesday, Thursday, I'm trimming and getting the trailer ready. So it's like, 8 to 10 hours of prep work just to go to a contest. And then mm-hmm. if you go to the Royal, you're doing double that. So it ends up being a lot of work. So you got to really love this hobby if you want to do it.
Well, what's the biggest thing you've ever won besides a trophy?
I would Well, the biggest one we've ever won is the Royal this weekend.
But, right.
I still remember my first GC was in Canterbury Park in Shakopee, Minnesota, and it was just like it was like a 3 or 4 year climb to get to the top, and then when you finally achieve it, it's just like remarkable that you made it. You know, you kind of figured out what everybody's looking for, and that was probably the most memorable one outside of the Royal that I just. It won that, but we got 2012, we got RGC in Bentonville here. We were really excited about that.
Right.
Hoping we do just as well this weekend, so.
So in barbecue competitions, now I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm an old horse show judge. Well, I'm not that old, but I did it for a long time. And at any type of competition, there is always a question about those damn judges. And so, and not impugning anybody's integrity. I mean, that's not the point. The point is that people have different opinions and people interpret things. And if something like tasting brisket or tasting pork or something, I may not think that, you know, because those are all blind samples. But, you know, I may not think box one is as good as box two. And if you're a judge, you might think the opposite. So tell us about your experience with judges. And you obviously probably get to know some of them, maybe not personally, but you know kind of what they like or what they've done before. Do you ever change anything if you know a certain judge is going to be adjudicating on a particular weekend? There's a couple of questions there, so I kind of long-winded on you. Sorry.
Well, what I kind of do is we change the flavor profile a little bit, probably from contest to contest. Not much, but a little bit. And my wife likes to read the score sheet, and you're kind of looking at it, and you'll get three perfect scores, and then some judge will really give you a couple low scores. And I just had to overlook that, because if you start trying to figure all that out, it absolutely drives you insane. So I guess everybody that does this is kind of in the same boat. You know, you got to take the good with the bad. And then they always talk about the table of death, where the judges just score everybody low. But if they're consistent across the board, you know, and then they're moving it so you don't land on the same table twice when they turn it in. So if you hit a bad table, you're not going to hit it again, which is kind of fair to everybody. So all in all, I think the judges are trying to do a good job, but the taste factor is something that's, you know, everybody's personal taste is different, so you just got to go with that. But my old theory is to keep it sweet with a little bit of heat, and that seems to be what the common denominator is for most of the judges.
Well, that makes sense. I know in the horse world, if we knew a certain judge liked a certain thing, you obviously couldn't change the style of the way a horse performed for that. But we might either bring a different horse, or we might only go into a limit, what we call a limit class or something like that. We just kind of, you know, over the years, you just kind of figured that out about some judges. And you would try to put your best foot forward when you could with them. Some of them I never could please. But, you know, that just happens, I guess.
Judging is something you always in the back of your mind. You want to get judges that, I always look at it like this, you know, people that score in the over 700, which is good, because 720 is the highest score you can possibly get. And I always feel like going to a contest, if I'm judged fairly, even if I don't win, I feel good about it. And if I get judged really, really low, then I go home and I'm like, okay, what do I need to change? What do I need to do? And it might just be the region you're cooking in with that type of judges. And so you just got to kind of analyze what your thoughts are about the judges and just turn in the best cook you can, and hopefully everything turns out for you.
There you go. That's what we do. We're going to take another break here. We're going to be back with Steve Nelson and some more barbecue news, sort of, right after this.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That would be Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. It's been a good week so far, and it's going to be better for a lot of people after you hear this next show here. We're going to be talking to a big winner there at the KCBS, the Kansas City Royal, at the Barbecue Championships today. We're going to have Steve Nelson with us from Grills Gone Wild in a couple of minutes. And also Miss Beaujolais is with us today here in the studio. We're going to be talking about some new news coming up in a little later in the show, some ag news and food news there. So first, let me be polite and welcome Steve. How are you, Steve?
Oh, I'm just great. Having a good time. We're down here in Bentonville at the Sam's Club Finals now, so we're excited to do that.
So you got a couple of perfect scores, as I understand it, KCBS. Is that right?
Yes, we did. We got a 180 first place in ribs, and we got a 180 perfect in pork at the Royal. So we were just absolutely thrilled about it.
I guess. Gosh. So let's kind of step back a little bit, Steve, if you bear with me for a second. When you're getting ready to go compete in something like the Royal, now my previous life, I was involved in horse shows. So a little different. You're not cooking, but you're still got to prepare for big events and, you know, get your mind around it. Plus all your stuff. How do you get ready for something like the Royal?
Well, what we did, is we were doing the Sam's Club out in Fort Collins, Colorado, and we got through the local, and then we went to the regional finals in Las Vegas. And we came home this summer, and we'd been practice cooking, doing quite a few contests. And I really didn't decide to do the Royal till about June, and I thought it'd be a good run-up to the Bentonville contest. And when we got down to the Royal, my whole focus was to try to turn out the best product I could, and I was just totally focused on that. I had changed my timeline quite a bit this summer, and we were kind of in a transition last year, going from low and slow, which I had pretty much done the last 6 years, 7 years, and then we kind of went hot and fast, and I had to change everything. And it was during the 2014 season. It was kind of a learning curve for me, and then back in June of this year, we kind of went, kind of got it dialed in, kind of got it figured out what I wasn't doing correct. And so I kind of signed up for the Royal as do a practice cook. I wasn't really expecting results like that, but we just had a super cook. Everything we turned in we thought was spot on, and all you do is turn it in, cross your fingers, and hope the judges love it. And that was our day. That was our day at the Open.
So did you come up with you said, you know, you used to do low and slow, and now you're doing a little more hot and fast. Is it kind of a combination of the two for you now?
Well, not really. I just kind of went, we're putting our meat on at 6:30 in the morning, and when I was doing low and slow, I'd put it on at 8 o'clock the night before, and then I'd get up and I'd check the smoker two or three times. And it just kind of seemed something that a lot of teams were doing, and they were winning with it, and I thought, you know, I need to change my focus here and try to get onto this hot and fast cooking. And we just worked it out, and a lot of practice at home in the driveway, and, you know, things started coming together in June, like I told you a little bit ago, and we started getting quite a few calls with it. We won a grand championship, and I said, I'm going to take it to the next level, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do at this point.
So were you a little bit in awe when you walked into Arrowhead Stadium?
Oh, yes, I was, because we had cooked at Kemper Arena before, and I cooked there in 2012, and we finished 10th in the Open. But I like the atmosphere of Arrowhead. It's really a neat place to have a barbecue contest, and one of the benefits for us as a competition team was it was a lot quieter where we were at, and we were able to get 5 or 6 hours of sleep each night, which really helped out. When I was down at Kemper, it's hard to get any sleep, and there's so much activity going on there. And I really enjoyed it. There was a lot more room. I felt the teams were a lot more comfortable down there. I hope it continues to go down there.
Well, it just sounds like you had a little too much fun to me, but that's okay. Does your wife work with you when you do this, Steve?
Yes, Kathy and I, and Kathy's part of Grills Gone Wild. She does all the boxes. She helps me do the prep work and helps with the turn-ins and always gives me her opinion and thoughts on what we're turning in. And we had kind of a situation come up because we've been talking about changing our presentation boxes on ribs and pork. And we did the invite, and we didn't change it. And then the Open, we said, okay, we're going to change our box, our presentation box. And we did the ribs. I thought it looked fantastic. And then Kathy wanted to change the pork box, and I was kind of hesitant. But we had some good friends of ours, Mike and Joellen, that were helping us, and they both kind of overruled me. But we ended up getting the box completed, and we took pictures of it, and it was just probably the best pork box we've turned in ever.
That's got to make you feel good, though. I mean, besides being overruled by your wife and two friends, I mean, but I know that drill from my own experience in life. But, yeah, that's got to make you feel good when you turn something like that in.
Oh, yes, we were just thrilled with it. We did a different style of how we presented it, and we were kind of like, you know, you get involved and you get something that's winning, you don't like to change, but I think the change we made really helped us. It was just a phenomenal box.
So what are you doing here at Bentonville this weekend?
Well, this is the Sam's Club Finals down here, and I was just trimming meat in the trailer, and Holly Williams was singing on stage, so I was just finished my last brisket. So I'm ready to go tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock. I fire the drums up in the backwoods, and we're off to the races.
So do you do this full-time, Steve, or is this just a weekend gig for you?
No, actually, kind of give you a little background. I just came 10 years ago. I'd never heard of competition barbecue, but I'd always been a backyard guru all my life. I remember the first pellet smoker I bought. I thought, oh, man, that just produces fantastic barbecue. And I've always enjoyed cooking outside, no matter just meats, but, I mean, we were doing a lot of vegetables, and we were doing pizzas and stuff like that. And then about 9 years ago, they had a contest, and I thought, well, hey, I'm pretty good. I better get in that. Well, there was 21 teams. I finished 17th, so I found out I wasn't quite as good as I thought I was. But we've just basically, the next year we did a couple with our son. Our son, I don't know if maybe you listeners know this, but our son is Scott Nelson. He has his own team called Pigskin Barbecue. He won the Jack here a couple years ago. And we did a 1 year with him, and then he lives about 60 miles from us. We kind of decided we did best to just split up and start our own team, and then we just progressively got into it. We were like a camping team with a trailer, and we've since bought a motorhome, and we got a 20-foot competition trailer. So it's kind of, if you'd asked me 10 years ago if I was doing competition barbecue, I'd have said, I don't even know what it is, you know. So
yes.
It's just one of those things.
It's kind of funny how that works. I mean, barbecue competitions to me are a lot like other, you know, whether it's horse shows or something to do with showing animals, or whether it's, you know, soccer matches on the weekend. A lot of times people get involved in this, and their first year or two is such a learning curve. Then, like you say, pretty soon, you know, they've got a motorhome, they've got pulling trailers, they've got, you know, barbecue reps trying to talk to them, all kinds of stuff going on. It's kind of funny. Anyway, we're going to take Steve, we're going to take a break here, and we'll come back on the break. We're going to talk to Steve Nelson some more, who's a big winner there at Kansas City at the Royal, and we'll be right back.
He robbed the Danville train, but that dirty little coward that shot Mr. Howard has laid poor Jesse in his grave. Poor Jesse had a wife to mourn for his life. We children, they were brave. But the dirty little coward that shot Mr. Howard has laid poor Jesse in his grave. Now Jesse was a man, a friend to the poor. He'd never see a man suffer pain. And with his brother Frank, he robbed the Chicago bank.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Back on the Nation, that would be the Barbecue Nation. That's Saturday afternoon. If you're not doing anything and you're down in Eugene, come by the Quack Shack and say hi. I'll make you a burger or a dog or a burger dog, or I can create a lot of things. Speaking of Quack Shack, the folks at Painted Hills, they're a proud sponsor of the Quack Shack. Did you know that, Kayleen? No, you didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Well, they are. And Painted Hills Natural Beef has no hormones, no antibiotics, no styrofoam, and no Volkswagens in them.
Yeah.
It's just like the beef Grandpa used to make.
What's going to happen to all those Volkswagens?
We're going to ship them back to Germany or something. I don't know.
Melt them down.
Melt them down. Turn them into good something.
Into houses.
Yeah, we could do that. Also, if you have a recipe you'd like to share with us, you can send it to recipes@kxl.com. Or if you want to email us, barbecuenation@kxl.com. There you go. We actually do check those. We had fun with Steve Nelson. He's a good guy.
Sounds like he's having fun.
He's having way too much fun.
Getting to drive around in your camper and big trailer.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun.
You know, I like that grill's gone wild because, you know, if you switch those letters, you know.
That's what I immediately thought of at first.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I'd like to see the side of his motorhome on that. That's good. Couple of things real quick. Do you know how much it costs to make a penny, by the way? This has nothing to do with barbecue, but it's
more than a penny.
Costs 1.8 cents.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And it costs 9.4 cents to mint a nickel.
What's happening here?
I don't know. We're just ass backwards the whole way here. So, and the other thing is that now, officially, Apple has more money than the United States Treasury.
Oh.
So there you go.
Apple, have mercy.
Apple, have mercy on us. This post came out. People listen to the show know that I like to talk about these things a little bit. Said the leaders from the food industry issued a warning to Congress last week, telling them that, yes, shake your finger sternly at them, telling them to take action on climate change or face global food shortages. Like, Congress is going to do much of anything about that, but that's another story. Leaders from companies such as Kellogg's, General Mills, Nestle's Mars, and others co-signed a letter published in the Washington Post where they warned about threats to climate change and what that poses to the food industry. It said the problem is that we're running out of farmland. We are not running out of farmland. There's only so much dirt. You know what I mean? You've got 80% of the population lives on 20% of the land, and that's always near the edges, you know, where the water is and stuff.
I mean, it kind of sounds to me like, okay, they mustered up all this energy and we're going to go to Congress and we're going to scold them and we're going to, you know, lay out this demand. It sounds like they missed the mark a little bit. Maybe they could have been a little bit more pointed.
Right.
Also, though, I do feel like you said, maybe leaders in general should come together. And something I've been doing lately was thinking of it more in terms of let's have a sci-fi moment. Let's have a sci-fi question. Whereas, like, if leaders didn't go to Congress, because sometimes, as we know, they're not that responsive.
That's a very nice
where could they go instead? You know, where could they take their good intentions or money even or power to, you know, if they really did want to address a global food shortage for the good of all? You know, where would action actually be able to come out of?
Well, I think you could look at things like going to, the National Beef Council, the Cattlemen's Associations, that dealing with that, you know, pork, all those industries have them. Wheat growers, they all have them. And so you would want to go actually to the source and work with them and keep Congress and like the UN and all these big high PR painted people, keep them the hell out of there and get down in the dirt and fix
They're
it.
They're busy enough running around in circles anyways.
Yeah,
you know?
It's chase your tail. You know, that's what it does.
That's what it looks like.
Anyway, it's just, you know, I was telling you off the air that I had warned people years ago on one of my other shows that I had argued with a kind of an environmentalist about things, that I thought the most significant thing was going to be running out of food because you get past a point of no return. So anyway, we will return next week with another Barbecue Nation show right here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. And by the way, BBQ Nation is produced with Alpha Media in conjunction with JTSD Productions, all right reserved, and all that stuff. So there, we got the legal in this for once also. I want you to take care. Have a great week. For Kayleen Beaujolais and myself, I'm JT on the Nation. We'll see you next week.